welcome to Unlocking Adventures, your travel parenting podcast or podcast for traveling parents, whatever you decide. I'm Lisa Kay, and with me is...
John Kay.
Why are you looking at me like that? That was my introduction.
The way you just reversed it. Traveling podcast for parents or parents traveling podcast, like...
Both of them work.
Oh, they do.
All right. Well, so today So on our podcast, we talk all about Disney. And so today, we thought we'd talk a little bit about what I'm calling Who Wore It Best? Haha, because I'm very clever. But mostly it's which Disney World park does this best? And we have kind of a list of categories. I don't know what John's going to say. He doesn't know what I'm going to say, though he probably has suspicions. And so we're going to kind of break it down that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good?
I do have suspicions, but we'll see. Last time I had suspicions, I was thoroughly surprised. Which was the top three, so that was...
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you want me to give the categories?
Category? Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Let's start with which park... So this is out of the four main parks, Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios. You tell me, which park do you feel is the best at immersing you?
So when I walk into each one of these parks, which one makes me feel like I'm actually like in the, let's call it the Disney bubble, basically? Or do you just feel like, is that too generic?
Well, you're always in the Disney bubble.
Okay, so, I'm trying to break it down and make sure I know...
No, the best of immersing you into the story, into where you are.
Okay, all right.
I didn't realize I needed to explain it that much.
You don't have to, no. Well, that one's easy. That's the Hollywood Studios.
Why?
It's Hollywood Studios because I actually do have several...
Reasons? Oh, good.
Reasons behind this. So...
All right, let me get comfortable because this is going to be a while.
No, it's not. Reason number one... Just walk back into Black Spire Outpost.
Mm-hmm.
Walk back into Galaxy's Edge because everything back there makes you feel like you're on a planet from the Star Wars universe. The way that the cast members interact with you, the way that stormtroopers randomly just pop up and they're like threatening to you and stuff like that. That's immersion to me. And even like small little things. Like I told you when we rope dropped it last time and we were there standing in line for Aerosmith, and on the other side of the Sunset Boulevard was the line for Tower of Terror. There was just one random cast member from Tower of Terror just walking from the back of the line up to like standing up next to groups, not saying a word, just standing there being creepy, just like you would expect them to do up at the ride too. So taking that from the ride and just staying in character way out on Sunset Boulevard.
I will say those cast members do an incredible job. So I think every character in Galaxy's Edge just is amazing
at
really bringing you into the story so that you don't feel like you're somewhere else. Yes, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, pretty much everywhere you go in Hollywood Studios, I felt like you were immersed into whatever section of the park you were there. Like, when you walk through... Well, and this is just not just through cast members, but through, obviously, the Imagineers and having developed the area. Like, Galaxy's Edge, obviously, is amazing. But even... A Toy Story Land, you walk in, you just feel small compared to everything because you've been turned into a toy.
Oh, you're shrunken.
You're shrunk into a toy.
And then you're in Andy's backyard.
Yeah, Andy's backyard.
The best part about that, I think, is when you see the footprint on the floor and it's like Andy's footprint.
And every so often you see the Green Army men come out to do their little thing. Usually, I think it's with drums, usually is what they do.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it feels like you're like toy soldier size. So yeah, I think for in terms of immersion and feeling like you're immersed into the experience, it's Hollywood Studios for me.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you in certain points of that. I think they did a really good job every time you walked into some place, and we've mentioned this, like when you go through the tunnel from Muppets into Galaxy's Edge and you don't see anything else behind you. I will have to disagree with you, though, because I don't think that was the best park that immerses you into the story.
Uh-oh.
For one reason being, is, and I've said this before, is that as you keep walking to Galaxy's Edge, all of a sudden, you see toys, and you're in a whole new area. I wish that they had figured out a way to build it so that you couldn't see Toy Story from when you're in Galaxy's Edge. And I do agree that the cast members, this was a tough one, because the cast members did a really good job. When you are on Rise of the Resistance, they are part of the story. You are a rebel soldier, and they are trying, and they're part of the First Order. 100% agree with that. I think the cast members do a phenomenal job. However, I have to give this to Magic Kingdom for the simple fact that it was built on a second floor, so you never see the wrong cast member in the wrong section. So, like, I've walked through Galaxy's Edge, and I've seen cast members from Tower of Terror over there. And because they're walking to go on break, or they're doing something, or they're not, and it breaks up the story a little bit. The fact that Magic Kingdom was built so that there is a underneath area, because you're technically on the second floor, so that you will never see the wrong character in, like, so you're in Adventureland and you're never going to see anyone from Tomorrowland in that area. You're never going to see Stitch walking around in Adventureland.
It would be hilarious.
It would be. I think he would be a really good pirate. But that, the fact that Walt Disney had that envisioned that he didn't want that to happen, mm-hmm. I think that kind of keeps you in the story a little bit more. So, and that's why it kind of beats out the Hollywood Studios one. And I love Hollywood Studios, and I think they did a phenomenal job. And when you go into individual attractions, I think they did a much better job than some of the other ones to kind of keep you in the story. Like Tower of Terror, when you go into the Hollywood Hotel, you're in it. Mm-hmm. And all of the characters do the same thing. Same thing when you go on Rise. Same thing when you go on Slinky Dog Dash. You know, you're a toy. They talk to you like a toy.
Yep.
But that little thing where there is no bottom floor, there is no way for you to go on break and be back in the real world without me noticing, that's what kind of gives Magic Kingdom the edge.
I will give you one prop on that, and the reason why is because when it comes to character interactions, to feel like the person embodying the character is really, like, really embodying the character. So, like, we've seen, you mentioned Adventureland, so we've walked around Adventureland the multiple times we've been there, and Captain Jack Sparrow is out mm-hmm. every so often, but he's usually up on a little, it's not a throne or anything like that, but
it's like a stage.
The fancy chair up there. But this last time you and I went, we wandered through Adventureland, and all of a sudden, he just came sprinting out of nowhere and then went and hid behind random people and was, like, poking his head out. And other people were coming up and like, we see you there. He's like, nope.
Yes.
And, like, just
he commented on,
like,
my pirate ears.
Right. Exactly. Acting like you would expect the actual character to act. It seemed more like he was running away from, call them handlers that usually,
right.
like, circle the actors and stuff. But it actually, you know, felt like that's what the character would do, not just... sit
yeah.
around on a stage. It's like, that's what I would expect out of a character like that, and that's a better representation of being in that kind of
right
immersion.
And the way that Magic Kingdom is set up is that you will never see Jack Sparrow in a different section, because that is where he will be.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why it has to be for me. I think it does a better job.
Fair enough.
Okay. You want to read the next category?
Yes.
Alright, so speaking of that, why don't we just go straight on to Which park has the best character interactions?
What a segue. Wow.
Well, it worked out pretty well.
I did not intend that, but that worked out nicely.
You didn't
plan
for that?
Wow. Nice segue.
You're going to put a sound bite in that?
Nah. I just did
sound
it for
effects.
You. Let's see. Best character interactions. Well, it's tough because I just gave a pretty good example of one. Shoot, let's see. Because I'm thinking through them, so, like, in Epcot, you can see, I think most of these characters, we saw Winnie the Pooh outside, you see the various princesses throughout the place, in the various areas. It's tough because a lot of the character interactions are indoors, in spots, not all of them,
yeah.
no, I don't
like,
mean
you
all
can
of them.
Meet Buzz outside in Toy Story Land, and Woody, you don't meet them in...
Correct. Well, I didn't mean all of them. I mean, like, there are some that are inside. So, like, Tiana and, who's with Tiana usually in Magic Kingdom? They're inside. That's when you have to wait in line for... Well, you have to wait in line for all of them.
Right.
But in terms of, like, interactions, like, I'm partial to Stitch because he comes out on that stage in Tomorrowland and he's just being ridiculous.
Yeah. And aside
on
from...
stage there.
Aside from Ohana, really, that's the only place you're going to see him.
I think that is legitimately the only spot you see him. But you can also make that same argument about Jack Sparrow. That's the only spot you see him
right.
is Adventureland. it's really like, I know it sounds like I'm copping out. I'm not copping out. I'm not making a decision. No. I'm racking my brain trying to think if there's one interaction that just kind of separates itself away from everything else.
And do you want me to answer?
Yeah, you go first.
You seem like you're having a struggle here.
I'll see if I can figure out how to parse through these thoughts. Yeah.
For me, I think the best interactions, the best place you're going to get character interactions is Epcot. Mostly for the fact that you can meet all... Sorry, I almost knocked over my water. You can meet all of the princesses, or most of the princesses.
Yep.
If you want to meet princesses, they're there. Every interaction I've had with a princess has been very phenomenal, and they're talking characters, so they're not ones in the full face costume. You know, they're a face character, so they can interact with you and speak with you, unlike like Mickey Mouse and Minnie and all of them.
Yes.
Who don't, unless you go to the special Mickey, who does talk in Magic Kingdom. That line is always
very long. The magician one at the beginning?
Yeah. So, for me, I really like the interactions there. You can also meet Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland. The lines in Epcot for those character interactions are far less than I think in all the other parks.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can... they're very frequent. Alice was constantly out when we were there.
It felt like every time we walked past England, she was out. You're like, it's really hot out today, too.
And even Anna and Elsa, I think for that one is probably the longest one that you'll see. But I've seen that line get down to 20 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, those kinds of things. So
absolutely.
I think that Epcot, to me, has the best character interactions because I also feel like you're not as rushed. So when we met characters in Magic Kingdom, aside from Jack Sparrow, because he's just kind of running around.
Yeah, doing his own thing.
And I feel like you were just kind of like, okay, go take a picture of that. Like, you can see Donald in Epcot as well, and I even feel like that interaction, that's an outdoor interaction too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see him in Mexico, but I feel like...
Oh, right.
Because of the fact that Epcot is... there's so many things in Epcot, and people are kind of dispersed in various places.
Mm-hmm.
It is much easier to go see the characters in Epcot than it may be to go see them waiting for an hour in Magic Kingdom or in Hollywood Studios when you meet Minnie and Mickey, you know, those kinds of things. So that's why I think Epcot is a much better job, but you have to go into the World Showcase to see all of them.
Right.
And you can see Winnie the Pooh, and he's always doing some random things over there by Figment.
Yes.
Just catching butterflies.
Which was a slight change, because when the pandemic was more of a thought, not an afterthought, it was Joy that was over there.
Yes, but you can also meet Joy
after Figment.
Yeah, inside, and you can meet Ralph and
Vanellope,
and those were really great interactions. Even though they didn't speak, they were more playful because they had the ability to be.
They could,
and
yeah.
I think I felt like, not that you get rushed, because Minnie was very interactive with Abby, and when we saw Vampirina, she was very sweet with Abby as well.
Mm-hmm.
In Hollywood Studios, but I just think that the fact that you get so many characters who can talk to you in Epcot, that is my favorite. I would go with that one.
So here's a question. You say character interaction. Do you solely mean like characters in costume like that, or do you mean any cast member that's dressed up as any character, like including like the Star Wars?
No, I'm talking about characters, like Disney characters. No,
okay.
Not cast members. I would have said cast member interaction. All
right, well,
then.
Well, that's why I'm checking, because if it was that, I would have said hands down in Hollywood Studios, because of the way that the Imperial officers treat you on Rise of the Resistance, basically yelling at you like you are like a bunch of prisoners.
I will say, if everything was set up like Galaxy's Edge, in the way that the stormtroopers are not, when you're in Galaxy's Edge and they are not... just like, it's not a meet and greet, it's because you don't even meet Ren or any of them, it's more of them, they're walking around, or patrolling and all that. Not as much right now, because it's still distance for the stormtroopers for the most part.
Yeah.
But they're patrolling, so it's a little bit different, which is cool.
Yeah.
So you get to kind of feel like you're
It's not that interaction if you're talking
about. Well, it is a type of interaction, but I'm saying that's the one area where it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen in Toy Story Land, you know, you're meeting them, you know? So, I don't know, I think it's a little different, but, yeah.
Well, see, that's why it's so tough, because it feels like poor Animal Kingdom's gonna get
But you can meet Kevin in Animal Kingdom.
You can meet Kevin,
mm-hmm.
but unless your kid, but if your kids don't know what Up is, then,
you need to introduce them to Up.
Clearly. So, I can't disagree with Epcot because of the number of princesses there. If you've got a kiddo that's into the princesses, that's perfect. Again, like you said, the number of times they pop up. I will say now, I don't know if they'll actually ever do this because it's probably too ridiculous to do. They should really have some member of the Guardians of the Galaxy out and about. I don't know if they do. I don't think they do. Because it's such a small little area that the ride is in.
But I don't know if they're allowed to, right? Is that go back to the whole rule of when what Marvel... Or is that just Spider-Man?
I only think that certain characters... I don't know off the top of my head. But I would imagine, like, they built the ride, so they must have rights to it. Like, imagine for, like, if, like, Groot was just out and about or something like
that. That would be cool if Groot was about.
That's my point.
Or actually, it would be better if it was more like Groot... remember at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one where he's a dancing plant, but he freezes.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool if it was like that, where he would just be frozen, and all of a sudden he's just dancing behind someone.
I could see that. Yeah.
I think right now it would be too hard to have all those characters in that area because of all the construction.
Well, it's too small of an area, really, because you've got the Xandarian ship out front, and then there's the ride, basically.
There's space, but it's just... I think once the construction is gone, there'd be more space to be able to do
that. That's probably true, yeah. Or at least feel like there's more space. But yeah, I would agree with Epcot for that one.
All right. Let's go to... Which park is the best to explore at night?
Ooh.
What is that, ooh?
It's me thinking.
Was it hard?
It's still hard. Best park to explore at night. See, I said just a couple seconds ago that Animal Kingdom is going to get the shaft, and it kind of gets it again to an extent. Because of its early closing time, the only time you can really enjoy Animal Kingdom at night is when it's not... when the sun sets earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pandora is lit up with, like, black lights and stuff. It looks really awesome at night. Like, we saw it in February when we went. But then when we were there in, this month, in August, park closes at 8, the sun's still out, so you don't get all those cool effects. So Epcot, Spaceship Earth looks awesome at night. Hollywood Studios, Tower of Terror is lit up nice, Chinese Theater. And then you got Magic Kingdom. With its... I mean, the castle looks amazing at night all the time. I would say... it's situational because of what I just said, but I like Animal Kingdom at night to explore because, again, Pandora's really, really awesome at night. And then the Tree of Life is just lit up really awesome as well. And there's just... it feels like there's not as many people there at night either. So you can actually, like, see things and not feel like you're, you know, wading through crowds of people trying to see things.
Well,
like,
there's never as many people, I think, at Animal Kingdom
anyway. No, there's not. But I'm saying, like...
far less people go to Animal Kingdom than I would say some of the other ones.
Well, they do. But I'm saying because it closes earlier, there's not as many people there because they've already jumped ship to go to the other parks that might be open for another hour or Magic Kingdom's open till like, 11. Like, yeah, I think Animal Kingdom with the way that everything is just... it kind of feels jungly with the way it's set up already. And then you have Pandora at night. You've got the Tree of Life at night. I think it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I like Animal Kingdom at night. I like all the parks at night because I feel like they are a completely different place. You know,
yes.
My favorite thing is to go have a meal and then, you know, towards evening hours, and it's light out when you go in it, and then when you come out, it's dark, and you feels like you've been transported somewhere else.
When you can't see outside either. Like, there's windows, but you can't, like...
yeah, like when we went to Tusker House in Animal Kingdom, we came out, and it was just really cool to explore. Even
that's part of it.
Not even outside of Pandora. I just think Animal Kingdom is such an interesting park to walk around at night.
It feels like you're on safari.
Right, yeah. It just feels... and like you said, there's less people there, so I'm not bumping into people. Like, Magic Kingdom at night is beautiful, but there's 8 million people, and I hate it. You know, like, everybody's trying to get the best spot to see the fireworks, and everybody's crowded, and I just don't like people, so...
I can't believe they put that tape down every night, because I saw them pulling the tape up to mark the spots. You will stand here and not here, so people can walk past. And they take that stuff up every night. Like, I was watching them do it. Like, man, that's not, that can't be fun, because
you know it's a good thing that they do, they have everything down to like really well, down to a science, down to a T when they're going to do it, so that they know how to keep the aisles clear,
or at least as clear as possible, you
because the number of people who are crowded in to watch those fireworks, to watch the productions on the castle, and it's a long show too, but people start, we talked about this before, people start getting their spot like hours before, so that they can make sure they have the perfect spot to watch fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not that person.
Not when you can sit on the people mover and watch the fireworks as you go back and forth.
That was my favorite part. I love doing that. I love being on a ride during the fireworks.
Absolutely.
Or watching the fireworks from Polynesian. That was really cool.
That was pretty good too,
Just sitting on the beach at Polynesian and being able to watch the fireworks and they pump in the music.
And you're allowed to do that. It's not like if you're...
Yeah, even if you're not staying there, you can do it.
Yeah, you can just chill there, because what are they...
Well, like, you can also get... there are some restaurants that are not in the parks that do those kinds of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
California Grill in Contemporary, they have, like, a balcony. You can do it, too.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few different ones. And then Ohana, if you get dinner at Ohana, you can
see... Well, they're just surrounded by windows there, yeah.
Yeah, so. And they pump in the music there as well. Well,
that's awesome.
But if you don't want to pay... Then you can do it from the...
Just chill on the little lawn there, yeah.
Yeah, and you can see them from the Contemporary, too. But I think Poly... I just like the vibe of being at the Poly when the fireworks are going off.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to go one step further with this.
Okay.
So let's remove Animal Kingdom, okay?
Oh, dear. Okay.
So let's go just Magic Kingdom.
Just... Okay.
Which part of Magic Kingdom is the coolest at night? Which land?
You had me running, like, I didn't know what my brain was thinking. You were like, I'm gonna go one step further. I was like, okay, I'm gonna cut out Animal Kingdom. I'm like, what are you doing this for? And then you said, oh, only Magic Kingdom. I'm like, where's she going with this? All right, which section of Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, which section of Magic Kingdom?
To explore at night.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I already know mine, so.
Oh, well. It's not Fantasyland. Honestly... I think to explore at night.
You are having a struggle.
No, I'm not struggling. I'm trying to figure out how to word it. That's what it is. Like, I'm trying to think of my words before I say them, so I don't sound like I'm just tripping over myself as I try to speak.
Okay.
So I like, honestly, Main Street.
Okay.
At night, because everything is lit up. It looks like how a small town would kind of look if it was. Kind of like it was in a holiday.
Well, and all the windows are lit up, too. Yeah.
Basically, everything's lit up. I want to like a location like... But correct me if I'm wrong. Haunted Mansion is technically Frontierland, right?
Yes. Technically. I think so. Technically, okay. It's over there.
Or Liberty Square.
Yeah.
Liberty Square. I would give that more credit if it was a little bit more lit up, but it's supposed to be haunted. It's not supposed to be like inviting...
True.
Or anything like that. So, and most of the rest of Frontierland is kind of darker anyways, because we walked through there enough times. But Main Street's just lit up. It looks really awesome, like small town USA, like it's meant to. So yeah. I think that's my answer.
Yeah. For me, it's got to be Tomorrowland.
Yep.
I just think, when you walk over there at night, the way Astral Orbiter looks, I know you don't love Astral Orbiter, but it looks really cool at night.
No, but it looks cool at night, yeah.
And I love riding the People Mover at night, because you have a whole different perspective. So I just think that whole area looks really cool at night.
Yeah.
And just there's different light colors and features. And I feel like out of all of the lands, when you walk into Tomorrowland, I feel like you are more... It feels like you're further away from all the other lands, even though you're not. But it just feels like you are.
No, 100%.
So for me, that's definitely that.
I agree.
Okay, so now what about in Hollywood Studios? Which area would be your favorite to walk and explore at night?
The truth is, now that I think about it, I don't think I've actually walked through Galaxy's Edge at night.
Yes, you have.
No, I don't. Well, if we do, I don't remember it.
Well, then it wasn't that memorable.
Well, that's my point. Chances are we were just kind of blazing through to get from one area to another. I go with Sunset Boulevard for that one, because, first of all, the Tower of Terror looks absolutely zany.
It's ridiculous.
With the color scheme it has going on. And then it feels like Tinseltown, Hollywood for the first part until you get a little bit further back past the little markety areas there. And then you see, the Aerosmith area, then the Lightning McQueen Academy area.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's really nice at night there. And like Tower of Terror, like the ride area itself is lit like a, you would expect a walkway up to a hotel to be, kind of.
Yeah, that entire there. Area yeah. when you in the queue, well, not if, like that's even before the queue, although it's technically part of the queue when it gets really, really full.
Yeah.
It just, it definitely feels like because you turn a corner, then you just feel like you're not, you don't see anything else, and you just feel like you're stuck, or not stuck, but you're in, you're waiting to check in for your hotel.
Correct.
They did such a good job with Tower of Terror.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. Is it sad that it's not in Disneyland anymore?
What replaced it?
I forget. Guardians
Of
the Galaxy.
They have that over there too?
Not Cosmic Rewind. It's the same kind of ride.
Oh,
it's still an elevator ride,
but it's
a little bit
concept.
More fun.
Oh, okay.
It's not as scary.
Well, I would imagine.
Didn't you watch the Imagineer thing about it when they had your? You did not watch that? It's
no,
so
that was
good.
You
have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I would have to agree with that. It was kind of a toss up between that and Toy Story Land, because I think they did really good job with incorporating the Christmas lights that are all around. And it's
Slinky
just,
Dog at Night is really,
yeah,
really
yeah,
awesome.
It's really cool. So, and riding Slinky Dog at Night, like that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So it just makes it a whole different type of experience.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But yeah, I would have to go to Sunset Boulevard as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to, this is good, this is geography. Which park is the easiest to navigate?
None of them.
Well, what?
No, go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
So you can't. There is a map in My Disney Experience. It kind of tells you where to go.
I do
like that it has walking directions, because I have used it before, because I never know where I'm going.
Yep, this is one of your flaws. Yep.
One of my flaws?
When it comes to geography.
How many flaws do I have?
We're talking geography. Stay within the realm of what we're talking about.
Rude.
Stay within the realm.
Rude.
Stay in the realm.
So which one is the easiest to navigate as a first time going to Disney World? Which park is the easiest to navigate?
The easiest to navigate out of all of them, it's not really fair, because Epcot's under construction, which throws a whole wrench into the thing, because
mm-hmm.
that makes it hard. Even like, I'd say the last time we went to Epcot, it wasn't as hard. Maybe because we've been there enough time
yeah,
for construction.
We know it.
But it's not as many. Like, when we first went, when they started doing construction, there were just freaking walls everywhere. It felt like you wanted to go in a certain direction, but there were walls blocking it, so you had to go all the way around. But in terms of actual navigation, which, in to answer this question, I'm kind of reversing my head and going, what's the hardest place to get lost in, basically, when you're walking around and be like, I have no clue where I am? I have to go with Magic Kingdom, because when you walk in, you basically, there's two ways you can walk underneath the still not running railroad.
Aww.
You're funneled down Main
Street. It'll come soon enough, okay?
It will. You go, you're funneled.
It's almost done.
It's almost done.
We think.
Well, it's, the audio's on People Mover,
that
so.
That doesn't mean anything.
Sure it does. So you walk, you're funneled through Main Street, because you see the castle in the distance, so it's a great like attention grabber, so you move towards it. And then you're in the central spoke, basically, like with all the spokes going out. So you go in either direction, and you can follow a pretty main path. There's not many places that you can wander away and go, well, what just happened? Because it's either you've wandered into a shop, or you wander through one of the smaller kind of like entryways. Like, I'm thinking Adventureland going into like Frontierland, but not towards Splash Mountain. Like, there's some smaller ones there. So it's really easy to just kind of say like, oh, I've ended up in this land, and then you can just kind of do a loop and through, which is how I envision World Showcase, except you have to get through the construction of Future World in the front.
Right.
But an Animal Kingdom is just a nightmare. If it's your first time there and you have no map, that's a nightmare to try to figure out.
Oh yeah, I still don't understand Animal Kingdom.
Exactly.
I just start walking, and then I'm like, okay, there's a sign for dinosaur.
Yep.
Maybe that's right. I have no idea.
And because because Galaxy's Edge uses all the Star Wars like language, like symbols and all of that, it's really easy to get lost there and go, I have no freaking clue where I am and which direction anything is in.
Yeah. I guess I can see what you're saying. Like, I think you could figure out Magic Kingdom. It's just look for the castle, right? As long as you can see the castle,
basically,
you can kind of figure out where you need to go, because the castle is the center, and then from the castle you can go other places.
Yep.
But I would have to still say, I think that the easiest park to navigate for someone who is very bad at geography is Epcot. For the fact, I know there's a lot of construction, and I hate all the construction. It will be done, hopefully soon.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea. But once you find water, which is the lake that in the World Showcase, just follow it, right? So as long as you walk towards water, you can follow it and figure out where you have to go. You literally can only go in a circle in World Showcase. So it's, you know, it's very right. easy to be like, okay, I'm in Japan. Eventually, I'll get to England if I just keep walking. And that's kind of how, when we had to get to Remy, when I was in China, and I was like, okay, I need to get to France. If I just walk in this circle, I'll eventually get there.
True.
Because it doesn't make any sense to me geography, because I don't understand geography at all. In general, I never know where anything is, so I don't even know if they're in a particular order according to the world.
Nope.
Okay, good.
nope.
But I do know, once I, like, based on the food, I know where I am.
That's fair.
Based on the way, the accents, because they have the international program.
Yep.
And the cast members' tags, so, yep. like, they will actually say Norway. And I was like, okay, now I'm in Norway. Or, you know, or America, you know, I smell barbecue, you know, so, like, which is the truth. So, you know, I can navigate my way that way. Or when all of a sudden I see the telephone booths in red, okay, now I know I'm in England. So, for me, that's really easy to navigate. And then the construction makes it very hard, but even with the construction, if I walk towards the big golf ball, the big globe, Spaceship Earth, I know where I'm going, you know? So I just have to figure out how to get there. Sometimes there's a wall in your way. Eventually they will be gone. But I will say, even with the construction, and this I feel like they may have or had been doing this, but I never noticed it, is they have really big signs that say, exit this way, not exit this way, on all of those walls. So for me, it makes it a lot easier. Like, I was the one who figured out where guest services was, remember? I figured it out.
Surprisingly, yes. Surprisingly, yes.
So, I think that for it's always going to be Epcot for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, so you mentioned that. So is Hollywood Studios then your favorite one to still get lost in? You mentioned Galaxy's Edge.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
That's part of the immersion game there, is that to get lost in Galaxy's Edge. Because, again, unless you've been there before, like, yes, very similar to what you just described with the World Showcase, there is, in most of the parks, there's a general, like, main path that you can kind of follow, and it's like a circular sort of style.
Yes.
However, it's when you then split off of that is when you can either, it either goes into one spot and just, it's all like a ride, and you turn around and you're back to the main path, or it's like Galaxy's Edge, where you wander into what looks like a little, like, black market style area where there's a bunch of shops. It leads you into, and because I've been here enough time that I know it now, Ronto Roasters. Then you get outside, and there's, and I never remember which one is which, because there's a droid shop, there's the lightsaber shop, there's August Cantina, but none of them actually have on the outside August Cantina, because it's supposed to be, this is the language they're using, is
mm-hmm.
the Star Wars language that they have there, and there's just no way that you can know unless you've already been there.
Right.
So it's super easy to get lost there, which is great if that's what you want. Not so great if you're a first timer trying to figure out where everything is and you're just like,
So if you're me or anything like me, open the My Disney Experience app and type in things like Joffrey's. And you can literally have them, as long as you have your location on, it'll tell you exactly, like, it'll navigate
yeah.
you just like Apple Maps would. So I know how to get to Joffrey's based on my little map.
I was going to make a joke where you know how to get to
Joffrey's.
Well, I
know how to get to Joffrey's,
because I know how to get to Joffrey's house because I know the landmarks on the way there. Like, you know, here's this particular
well,
road is on my way.
And I know which Joffrey's I want to go to in each park, because I know which one's going to have us, usually has less of a line than some of the other ones.
See, this is just how often you've been there. You've scouted this out and you've got it figured out.
Joffrey's is just so important to me.
I suck at geography, but Joffrey's, I got it.
I do love my Joffrey's.
Naturally.
I would say, though, you know what's interesting to me, though, when you're talking about, like, it's really easy to get lost in Galaxy's Edge? I think it also, I just said it was the easiest one to navigate. I think it also is really easy and fun to get lost in World Showcase in Epcot. Because We talked about that, where there are a lot of places if you go away from the water. So you go towards the water when you don't know where you're going.
Yep.
If you want to get lost, go away from the water and just explore the back ends of every area and see what's there.
Especially the areas in World Showcase, because they all usually have like some sort of artist from the region that's there. And they're all, like that shop we went to, in, like the Italy area, this is the first time I think I've ever been past the front section there, where you have the campanile of Venice in the front there. And there was the shop in the back, which the front half of the shop was like, you know, items that you could find in like a Venetian shop or something like that. But the back half had like an artist in the back, and it had things like where you could get your own kit to paint a Venetian mask and stuff like that. Things you won't see if you're just doing the loop.
Right.
Because they're further back. Like, you found, like, reflections of China because you were exploring the China area. Japan has several tall buildings
shop
there.
Incredible shop, too, in Japan.
Yes.
So many cool shops.
There's so many, like, individual, like, areas. Even, like, in France there, like, we wandered into the back and there was a random pin trader in the back.
Yes. Well, there were pin traders everywhere.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, this was one that was randomly. It was one of the kids' corner thing?
Kids' Cot?
Yeah, thank you.
Kids' Cot is this really cool. We should have the kids do it.
Passport style.
Yeah,
thing.
So you go to each land and you get like a stamp or a sticker or something.
Yeah.
Now that the kids were so little last time we went that they didn't want to do it.
Well, we got the little initial.
Yeah, and they were just not feeling it. I think Abby's at an age where she would like to do it now. She's five, so I think it would be interesting to her.
That's if you can probably pry her away from the pins.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. But she'd probably be into the cookie trail if we went during Christmas.
Very true, yeah.
I just like food, so I would be really into that.
Fair enough.
I do like food. No, food and coffee, those are what I want.
Yuh-huh.
Okay, well, how about... All right, which park is best for older kids? Older kids, let's define what older kids means, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So we have little kids.
Five and three are little, yeah.
Yes, we have little kids. So I'm thinking, like, when I say older kids, like... 8, 9, 13, 14 maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have those kids.
No.
But what do we think? Should we not make that decision because we don't have those kids?
You see, that's tough because it could be such like a mixed group there. You could have like 8 to 13-year-olds that are into the fantasy style stuff
that's
and
true.
Into the movies still, and those that are like, I want the thrill rise and all this
and
blah, blah, blah.
All right, well then let's do, instead of that, I have two ones that we can do. Let's do little kids, because we have been with little kids.
Yeah.
So which is the best park for little kids? So kids like toddlers and younger, or we'll go kindergarten younger, you know, or preschool or whatever, because we've had all of that, and we've had babies, so.
Right. So, for that, like, let's, like, kindergarten age-ish or under.
You can do categories if you want to do preschool to kindergarten and then
no,
under.
No, I'm not gonna, that's...
That's a whole other show.
That's getting too fancy there.
We're not fancy.
No. So, it's like I've tried to explain to Abby multiple times, because the way she describes, like, the rides there, like, oh, you know... You have to be a certain age to ride Tower of Terror. Like, no. It's not age. It's height. And so, like, Abby is 42?
She's taller than that.
43? 44? Something like that.
I think she's 44 now.
Yeah,
44
inches. So, basically, the only thing she can't ride is Aerosmith. So, like, when you have a kid like that, she wants to do Tower of Terror. She wants to do all these other things. So that kind of throws a wrench into, like, personal experience because she wants to do all that stuff. Gregory, on the other hand, isn't quite tall enough. So for him, it's all about what he recognizes in terms of, like, the movies he's watched and stuff like that. And so, like, Magic Kingdom offers the most for that age group because if you think Animal Kingdom, that age group can't really... I don't think they can do Pandora Flight of Passage...
No.
They could do the Navi River Journey, but that's really more... It's just a generic boat ride. The safaris for all ages. They can't do Expedition Everest. And I'd say that's a kind of the thrill ride there is Expedition Everest. Hollywood Studios, they can't do Rise of the Resistance if they're under 40 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 40 inches. Smuggler's Run is 38.
Slinky Dog is 38.
Slinky Dog's 38. Tower of Terror is 40. So... You kind of dwindle down the number of things they can do at Hollywood Studios. Epcot, Epcot, there's a decent number of, like, there's the Figment ride they can do. There's
he loves Frozen. That ride with me. Me
he
and
does,
him.
Yeah.
We are.
Why can't we do that? Like, what are the two senses they don't do because Figment takes over? And he goes, why can't we do those ones? As
oh,
the car
taste.
Goes the other, yeah,
we
taste
don't do
and
taste,
something
yeah.
else. And you're like, you don't
because
want
to he
do
does
that.
The skunk and it's like the smell.
Oh yeah, and you guys go.
My
the
favorite
direction.
Is when I'm on with Gregory.
Yeah.
And every time, because we've been going on this for a while now, and every time he's like, "Mommy, get ready, get ready, it's gonna stink."
Freaking memory. But for toddler age and all that, Magic Kingdom offers
yeah.
the most.
I think Magic. I agree. I think Magic Kingdom has the it has the most number of any height rides, right?
Correct.
So it's a lot. Like you can go on. All, you know, it's a small world. But you know the tea. I think the teacups are any height too. So almost every ride there, with you know the exception of things like
Space Mountain,
Big Thunder, Barnstormer has a height requirement.
It does actually. Yeah, you're right.
But Gregory got to do a lot of things there. I will also say, Animal Kingdom is a nice park to take little kids to because of the safari, and because of the animal interactions. So yes, you may not
yeah.
be able to go on a lot of the rides, but there are so many animal interactions. So if you have a kid who really loves the animals,
mm-hmm.
and that is a really great park for them. And there's a lot of shows.
That's
I think.
True.
So that's a good one as well. If they can do shows. When Gregory was a baby, that was not okay.
Yeah, he was not a fan of sitting still.
Yeah. But I think, like, seeing like, and the safari ride is very long. So
yeah,
it takes
it
up a lot of time, too.
True.
True. And then if you want them to nap, go to Epcot.
Yeah.
Because that's all our kids usually nap there still.
It is a tradition.
Okay. So, let's go to which park has the best nighttime show. So, now as of this recording, we are August 25th, 2022. So, the current nighttime experiences are in Magic Kingdom, there's Disney Enchantment.
Yep.
In Epcot, it's Harmonious. In Animal Kingdom, it's Tree of Life Awakenings. And Hollywood Studios is Beacons of Magic. Because Fantasmic is not back.
Not yet, no. I've seen Fantasmic.
Oh, it's so good.
It's pretty good.
So, out of what's there, what would you pick?
Harmonious.
Was it? You didn't even have to think about that one.
Nope.
That was really, really easy.
I like that one because, so Tree of Life is, the Tree of Life is off the Tree of Life.
So I think the Tree Life is really cool with the projections.
It is cool.
It has the projections of Lion King in it and all of that,
yeah.
which is really interesting.
I just like the fact that Harmonious is, like, it blends in water effects really nicely because it's all out on the middle of the World Showcase Lagoon,
yeah.
basically. It's not that any of the shows suck. They don't.
No, they don't.
Like, each one has its own, like, the unique quirks, like, so the Hollywood Studios is in front of the Chinese Theater, off of the Chinese
yeah,
Theater, the building's there,
yeah.
yep. Magic Kingdom is your traditional fireworks and then projections off the castle.
And then Tinkerbell flying.
And Tinkerbell flying, right. Which you can, oddly enough, you can see the line. If you look closely, you can actually see the little line.
Of course you're looking for
there.
That, though.
It's what I do.
You know that's a real person, right? That's
I
not
do.
Like a statue or anything. It's actually
yeah.
a person.
But what I like about... So the downside to Magic Kingdom is that...
There's 8 million people there, always.
There's tons of people
there's
8
there. Million people at Epcot, too, though.
That's not what I was going with. So... And maybe I'm wrong about this. So in Epcot, you can pretty much sit anywhere along the lagoon and get the whole show. I think. But there might be projections that you can only see from
yeah, there's certain
side.
Areas where you can see all the projections really well. You can see, like, around the water, yes, you'll be able to see the fireworks and the water and all of that. But there are certain projections you may not be able to see
right.
on the circle.
But that's something that I do like, though, is the fact... So even if you can't... So last time in February when we saw it, because I rushed us over there, we were in the area where you come up from Future World... into the World Showcase, and you can split off in either direction, Mexico on the left, and then Canada on the right. So you get Harmonious in front of you, Spaceship Earth behind you. If you're on the other side, you might miss some of the projections, but you get the fireworks, and you have Spaceship Earth in the background with all the lights that it
okay.
has going and stuff like that. It just feels more 360, because I I think in Animal Kingdom, if you're behind the Tree of Life, if you're on the opposite side for whatever reason, you don't see anything. Because there's no, I don't know if there's, are there traditional fireworks at that one?
No, there's no fireworks. Projections. Yeah, there's no fireworks in Animal Kingdom.
Probably the best idea because it's all, it's very wooded. And animals, and it's wooded.
Yeah, you don't want to scare those animals.
No. And then Hollywood Studios is the same thing too because it's so many projections. If you're not in front of the Chinese theater, you probably miss them all if you're somewhere behind it.
Well, when it was Fantasmic, it was a lot different.
Wasn't that more of a traditional, like, show though? Like, you had to go into a little kind of arena.
It was close towards where Tower of Terror is. But they just, since the pandemic, it hasn't come back.
Well, and I think that's why, is because, well, actually, no, that doesn't make sense because they're stacked on top of each other anyways.
It was, Fantasmic was a great show, though.
It was, yeah, absolutely. But I think, yeah, Epcot's my choice for nighttime show.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the Epcot one. I think Magic Kingdom is good. One of my biggest pet peeves with Magic Kingdom is from what you were talking about, is that you cannot, you can see the fireworks all
pretty
over
much everywhere,
Epcot.
Yeah.
You can be on the People Mover, like we said. You can be behind the castle, which has a lot less people, but you won't see the projections.
Yeah.
You can hear the music and you know, and all of that. But I also think even when you're in the front, so like when we went with my brother and my sister-in-law, they didn't even see Tinkerbell, and they were in the front. They had a really good spot in the front, and they didn't even notice Tinkerbell. We went behind the castle to get away from the crowd. We were Cosmic Rays because the kids fell asleep,
and we saw Tinkerbell.
We were like, oh, Tinkerbell, but we didn't see the projection. So I feel like you miss some stuff in that show because you're not seeing everything. Also, there are 8,000 people, and I just don't like people.
You,
I think the best
wrong place to really want to go on.
I know,
like, trips,
but it's fine. I mean, I love it, so it's fine. I think it's just the fire. Everyone's over there though, because if you go to the rest of the park during fireworks, no one's there.
Which is great. Yeah.
I know. Absolutely. You just walk on almost everything, which
we
is my favorite
on
thing.
We walked the People Mover. We walked on the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
Yeah.
During that time.
And awesome. Pirates. We walked onto
Pirates.
Pirates.
Yeah.
When the only thing we couldn't walk onto was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah, you can never walk onto that freaking thing.
But when I went with my sister in June, I walked on, not walked on, but it would, Rise of Resistance was like a 15-minute wait.
That's
during the fireworks.
Of.
So, you know, but I like, one of the reasons I really like Epcot, I don't like all the people, because I don't like people, but the music is, they have it in the cultural, it's all cultural.
It's all culture.
So it's all in the native languages and all that. So you're not just getting kind of the traditional ways that it's been, it's in the movies and all that, which is what I really like about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just love being in Epcot. I think that there are far too many people also there. I don't need all these people, but I feel like you can, yes. But I also feel like in any of these places, Epcot, I think, was better, but in any of these places, you do not have to wait in one spot for 8,000 years to see the fireworks, because we literally were just standing on the bridge to Future World and saw almost everything when we were in Magic Kingdom. And then for Epcot, we showed up basically in the park right when they were about to start.
Yeah.
And we were just like, look, a spot, you know? So I think, for me, I agree. I think Epcot has the best fireworks show right now,
it
or best nighttime show.
It would be intriguing to do. I think Magic Kingdom, you've mentioned, has some sort of package deal you can do with fireworks.
Those are packages, yeah. You can do them for any of them.
And I know, well, the reason why is because when we were in Epcot, we ate lunch at
Rose and Crown.
And one of the things that our waitress said was recommended was if, like, you come back and you can make a reservation for, like, the fireworks package, to where I think they put you outside.
Yeah.
And
there's
you
that
get a
little bridge there.
Three-course meal, and there's a bunch of other stuff included, and you get the fireworks from, like, right there.
Yeah.
So you're not fighting other people for the spot, because you're like, yeah, I paid for it, but...
So for Magic Kingdom, they have different parties. They have a pre-party, a post-party, like a dessert party, so all these different things you do. But then also, depending on the restaurants you're on, you can see different things.
I was
going to
say, I've heard you mention dessert party multiple times with your, like, booking of that for people. I don't know if Animal Kingdom doesn't have anything.
One of the other things I would say is a negative to me for Magic Kingdom is that if it's a night of a party, you don't get those fireworks. If you're a regular guest.
Because you're kicked out
at like 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And I can understand it because they have to do the party and people pay extra for the party. But for me, you know, we already know that I don't need to see the fireworks. Yeah. I did watch them in our hotel room the day we went golfing and I woke up and I had to get some work done. I was like, I'm going to watch Disney Enchantment on the TV. It was great.
We did see the Epcot ones from Coronado, too. Delayed by 30 yeah. minutes, but that was kind of cool to catch. Was yeah. it? Wait. Was that Epcot?
That was Epcot. It wasn't Hollywood Studios, it was Epcot. It was Epcot.
It had to be, yeah, you're right.
But you didn't get the music or anything.
Well, no, of course not. It's just fireworks. No. Plus, you're 16 stories up.
I did see the fireworks when we were at Caribbean, too.
Those are Epcot ones. Yeah, you can be down on the beach there, yeah.
That was really cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that was all the ones that I had. Was there any other categories that you wanted to touch base on?
I don't think so, no. I think we shared lists ahead of time, and we're pretty much on the same page for the different subjects without getting too, like, super technical and stuff like that. But they're good. They were good, like, subject lists. And, it's good to know that we can agree and also disagree. And the points are valid. It's not just, well, I'm going to disagree with you just because I want to or anything like that.
Is that what you think in your mind, that you just want to disagree with?
Always, all the time. I disagree with your point. Ugh.
So as a closing thought, after everything we've talked about, what is the park that you will never skip?
Epcot.
I know you were going to say it. It's always Epcot.
And that was before Guardians.
I do really love Epcot. I think Epcot is just so well put together. I love all the parks. And I think Animal Kingdom doesn't get as much love, but I kind of don't want to give it love because then more people are going to go to it and it's going to be crowded and I'm going to hate it.
I don't think they will, though. That's the thing.
Well, you never know. Maybe all the three people who listen to this will.
Yeah, maybe.
I just think that all the parks did such a good job and they're continuously to expand, so I'm interested to see. I cannot wait to see what the Journey of Water is going to look like in Epcot. And what Tron's going to look like and when they open all the rest of it and what all the future's going to... There's so much land they're going to keep building on.
That's why I'm excited about Journey of Water, because there isn't a Journey of Water anywhere else. Tron Light Cycle, there already is one in Disneyland Shanghai.
Well, yeah.
So you can kind of get a sense of what it will look like when it's fully finished and all of that.
Well, that's like Remy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not like...
It's not unique to the area.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like for example, like... The Gardens of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. I had no clue what it looked like inside because that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Because it's unique, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff in the pipeline, which...
It's exciting. I'm excited. It's every year when we go, I'm always looking for something new. Yeah. So this is great. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll end it there.
Yep, that's right.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As always, if you want any more tips or resources on travel, please visit unlockingadventures.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Adventures by Lisa K. And if you're ready to book your own trip, be sure to visit unlockingadventures.com/quote and have a wonderful day.
Good night.